Now, our first guest today has written a book called Worth, which is a powerful memoir of overcoming abandonment, discrimination, and adversity. In this sometimes heart-wrenching book, an uplifting message shines through. She reminds us that we're all worthy, no matter who we are or what we've experienced, and that we can lead a full, joyous life, no matter what it throws at us. I'm delighted to welcome to the show to tell us about her book, Barty Dia. Welcome, Barty.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much for having me on your show. Thank you, Selena.
It's our pleasure. So your story starts when you were a baby and you were abandoned in Uganda?
Yes, I was abandoned in a town called Kabale in Uganda in 1960. And my story is about essentially me being adopted into an Indian Punjabi Sikh family and about... I'm dual heritage. I'm part African, part Asian. So my story sort of is my journey into being adopted and the type of attitudes that were around then towards Asians adopting. It was quite a taboo subject then about racism, because a lot of my parents, family, friends, society did not want them to adopt an African child as they saw it. And then the sexism, because people were saying, well, why are you adopting, if you're going to adopt a boy, why are you adopting a girl? So, yeah, my story sort of starts from that, from those beginnings.
Okay. And apparently the people that adopted you, as you say, Punjabi Sikh family, they predicted your arrival.
Well, it was my mum, actually. Where we lived in Kabale, there were a lot of Hindu families there as well. So my mum started having quite a strong connection to Hinduism as well. And she was pregnant with my sister at the time. I was born in September. My sister was born in November of the same year. And she was dreaming. She had a dream that the goddess Lakshmi came to her and told her about a little girl. And she kept telling my dad that there's a little girl coming in this family. And he thought she was referring to the baby in her womb. But she said, no, there's another little girl. And towards the time I was found, she was able to have dreams about the ward I was going to be in, which hospital I was in. So she had a vivid dream of Ward 21. And a baby wrapped up in a pink blanket, and she kept telling my dad. So when it came out in the local newspaper that there'd been an abandoned, what they thought was an Asian baby, she was able to say to my dad, this is the baby I've been telling you about.
Aww.
And just to indulge her, he took her to the hospital. And she said, I just left him talking to the receptionist, because remember, this is 1960, there was no real sense of security. It was Africa, you know, so she just went, she said, I just went running down that corridor and I found Ward 21 and I found you exactly how I'd seen you in my dream.
Oh, how lovely.
So yes, that's how she predicted, yeah.
That's a lovely story. I'm surprised actually, Barty, that you survived, because it must have been very hot in Uganda and you were left at a roadside.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I say, you know, well, I'm quite spiritual. I accept that not everybody is, but I do feel like I was protected from the offset, because I was found in a box on the roadside. And, you know, it was Africa. It was remote. There could have been snakes. There could have been leopards. Anything could have got me. But I personally believe that I was protected by angels, maybe a force field of some sort. I don't know, but you know, I was protected. Nothing got me, and I'm here to tell the tale.
Yeah, exactly. It was obviously fate. Then, moving on to 1972, Idi Amin expelled Asians from Uganda. So, did you have to all leave?
Yeah, we all had to leave. At that time, my father had passed away by then, and it was just my mum. And she had me, obviously. She had my older brother, who was her birth child, and then myself and my sister. And we had another sister. So there were five children all together, another youngest brother. And in my memoir, I talk about how when we actually left, because we were in Kabale, which was on the border of Congo and Uganda, Idi Amin, when he sent his soldiers in, they took all everybody's cars away because they said that we could go over the border to Congo. And then they started accusing everybody of being spies and all sorts of things like that. So when they took all our cars away, there was only one driver, who I will call Mr. M. He basically almost, he rescued the 45 to 50 Asian families that were there. Because we had 45 days in which to leave the country. And so in my memoir, I've talked about the first, when it was our turn to leave, we left. And every 50 kilometers, there was a roadblock set up by the soldiers, and they would check our belongings. And I've talked about the fact that one of the soldiers turned to my mum with a gun, and he told her to leave me behind.
No.
Because he said I was one of them and not an Asian. And my mum just refused. And we just witnessed somebody, a child actually being shot before he came to our car. And then my mum just kept saying no, and he kept pointing the gun at her and saying, you need to leave her behind because she's one of us, you know. And the threat was real, was quite real, that he was prepared to shoot my mum, probably all the rest of us, if she refused. But she did refuse, and she continued refusing. And that was a very tense moment in the memoir when I'm describing it, you know, about my mum's refusal to give me up. And he eventually just let us go. He sort of said to my mum, I admire your courage.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it was a 50-50 moment.
Yes.
Either get shot for disobeying him or get shot if she said, okay, I'll leave her behind.
Aww.
But my mum, it never crossed my mum's head. And I talk about a mother's courage. So we had another sort of episode with my sister-in-law. You know, we were in a flat by then in Kampala waiting to leave, and how the soldiers came that night and went to the neighbors next door, and her courage and her bravery in trying to keep us all safe, you know. There's a lot
have happened. Yeah, and it sounds like your bravery as well, because as you say, you grew up, you're biracial, you're female, which isn't necessarily good in your community, a refugee, so you had a lot of racism and sexism as well.
We did. I mean, in the beginning, my family had a lot why are you adopting a black girl? And there's another bit in my memoir where I talk about my dad, and, you know, my mum and my dad decided when we were little, I think I was about a year old then, and they decided to take us to India to meet the relatives, and they were on the ship going to India, and a man, a random stranger, decided that I was such an affront. I think he decided that, you know, my parents had committed a great act of dishonor by having me. And I don't know what assumptions he made, but he tried to throw me overboard.
Because
he said to my mum, he said, I want to save you from your dishonor. And my mum had to scream for my dad to come and rescue me. So, you know, it sounds really ludicrous when you think about it now, that if a random stranger would decide that a child who's black and make some assumptions about your race and your sex and make some assumptions as to whether your parents had an affair, you know, and that's why I was a product of an affair. And so he decided he was going to throw me overboard. And there've been episodes like that, you know, where people have rejected my parents and rejected me because of who I was and what I was. But you know what? Throughout it all, it's the love and the commitment that my parents had for me and my brothers and sisters had towards me that has prevailed. And that's what I really want to take across in the memoir, that, you know, the message I want to give is that it's about the courage and the commitment of my adopted family towards me. And that has actually strengthened me and strengthened my sense of worth.
Yeah, I think you're very inspirational. I think that it's giving a very inspirational message of hope to others. As much as they were wonderful towards you, your parents and your brother, etc., did you ever feel abandonment? Did you ever wonder why your birth parents left you?
I think everybody goes through that period, especially when you're a teenager. I went through the normal teenage angst and used to dream about how my life would be different. And I used to have fantasies about my mum being very rich and turning up and really scooping me in her arms and saying sorry and things like that. But really, it was more around the time of when I was a teenager, I would say. You know, when you go through the angst, you're being bullied at school because of who you are. Because at that time, I had a skin condition as well called epidermolysis bullosa, which is when your skin just blisters up.
Oh, dear,
and,
yeah.
It tears, and it's a very rare skin condition, but more and more people are becoming aware of it now. And I was being bullied at school, and I just felt that everything was wrong in my world. So, yes, I did have fantasies like that and really thinking about, you know, who was my my mother more particularly. I think in, I'm not sure exactly, but I've talked about a man who for a very short period of time did kind of stalk me. It sounds really dramatic saying stalking, but I was just a child then. I was in primary school, in the state primary school, before my dad put us in the private missionary school. And, you know, this guy dressed up in khaki used to follow me and my sister, and he used to watch me. And I remember him very vividly carrying a machete. And I think later on, when my mum talked to me about my adoption, I mentioned that man to her, and I just got a real impression that that was my father, my birth father.
Right.
But,
okay.
But my fantasies were more around my birth mum. But no, do you know what, Selena? In all this time, and I can honestly say, I'm curious about my birth family. I'd love to know whether I had brothers or sisters. I'd love to know the reason why I was left on the road.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, for me personally, I've never felt that really strong desire to go hunting and looking for my birth family.
Yeah.
It's been more of a curiosity as opposed to I need that connection, because my connection is with my adoptive family. It's not with anybody to do with my birth family.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And at the end of the day, you don't have to give birth to a child to be their parents. Your parents looked after you from day one, and they're still your parents now. So I applaud you. I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
It's incredible what you've been through. We have an organisation over here called Deborah, or the Butterfly Children. You know of that. It's really interesting because it's a terrible... Are you okay now? It's a terrible illness.
I think as the years have gone by, my skin has toughened up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I get very, very occasionally will I get a blister, but it still tears. If I fall or something, it will tear. But it's a lot more stronger than it used to be. And I know that there's different types of epidermolysis bullosa. So I think I had the simple type, which is, I mean, it developed when I was 8 years old. I didn't get it at birth. And, you know, all I remember is that a lot of the time was spent with the skin blistering. And in my memoir, I've talked about the sort of treatments I went through.
Crikey.
Some of which were quite horrible.
But, you've had a lot thrown at you, haven't you, over the years? And you're still laughing. On top of that, you had lupus at one point that nearly killed you.
Yeah. I've still got lupus. I was diagnosed with lupus in 1976 when I was 16, and the UK had that heat wave. So I had the epidermolysis bullosa, so I was being treated for that. And then I was also diagnosed with lupus. So, yeah. But I'm fine. I mean, you know, my lupus is managed with medication now largely, and just me knowing the signs and what to look out for and how to look after myself. But yeah, But I'm fine.
Oh,
I'm happy.
Good for
I'm
you.
Healthy.
Good
know,
for you.
Relatively healthy, you know.
Well, you're now a qualified social worker in the UK. You've got an adopted daughter of your own. And in the book, can you give any tips to anybody who's feeling pretty much how you were feeling?
Well, I think, you know, look, I would say to everybody, everybody has their own unique experience. But one thing I really learned about everything, when you're going through a negative experience, I think just try and believe that and understand that this is a temporary situation. It may not feel like it at the time, but look, I'm 60 now and I have gone through periods, years, where there was negative situations or experiences I was going through. And now I can look back and confidently say that most of those experiences were temporary. So try and hold on to the fact that if you're feeling low, or, you know, if I'm feeling low or depressed or something negative is happening, hold on to the fact that it's a storm. It's a storm and it's going to pass. It is going to pass, you know.
Right, right. Good advice.
And also, one thing I've learned is just one of the things that my mum used to say when somebody was being very negative towards us, you know, and I've talked in my memoir about the sort of racial experiences of people throwing bricks at our windows and things like that. You know, and I said, you know, my mum used to say, oh, that person, if that person's being mean to you or bullying you or being nasty to you for whatever reason, remember that it's that person who's got that weakness inside them. It's not you.
Yes, good advice.
They are the ones who are the weak people, not you yourself. You can be strong, and just remember that they've got a weakness inside them. So that has really carried me through, Selena. That, and one thing I've also learned, I think as I'm getting older, I think it's just developing that sense of compassion towards that person. I think when you are compassionate towards others, it allows both your worth and your confidence to grow.
Yes.
So I find that, you know, like sitting there and feeling angry and revengeful or thinking I hate you, it doesn't help your sense of worth. It just makes it worse.
Yeah. You just get bitter and twisted, don't you, if you do that?
Well, those are just a few tips I would give.
Yeah. Great tips. We've just had a WhatsApp in from one of our regular listeners, Cookie. She said, this woman is blessed. So I thought I'd pass that on to you.
Oh, thank you.
And we're selling your book on our website. It's called Worth, an inspiring true story of abandonment, exile, inner strength and belonging. And it's by Barty Deer, who we're speaking to now. Barty, thank you for being so open and honest with us. And you take care over there in the UK.
And Selena, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. I feel very honoured and very humbled at the same time. Thank you very much.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks, Barty.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.